It comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. It's hard. It's soft. It can be black, white, or marbled. It is moist. It is dry. And as Rich so memorably reminded us a few weeks ago, and it can be corn. What am I talking about? Bread. Bread. Almost everybody has a favorite kind of bread. Just this past week, Judah said to me one night, if you'll just tell me what you want for supper. Y'all have this discussion at your house? If you'll just tell me what you want for supper, I'll fix it. And you know what? I thought and I said, I know exactly what I want. If you'll promise me, I can have it. What do you want? I said, I want a fresh tomato sandwich. And she let me down. But here's my thing. If you're going to fix me a mater sandwich, don't fix me a mater sandwich on healthy wheat bread. I don't want it. I want the really soft, really squishy white bread that soaks up the mayonnaise so you can put the tomato on top of it and salt and pepper it and just have a good time. Now you want one too. You're going to have to wait. Just like me. Every nation, tribe, and tongue has some variety of bread that is a staple to their diet. And that's why it's important for us to know that in John chapter 6, Jesus described himself by saying, I am the bread of life. He declared it on the day after he had fed 5,000 men. Plus women and children. It was in response to people who were demanding a sign from him. Like the manna that the Lord had provided in the desert during the wilderness wandering. They were demanding, we want our hunger satisfied with an abundance of physical bread. You did it yesterday. You can do it again today, Jesus. But instead of giving them what they demanded, Jesus declared to them, I am the bread of life. He said it not once, but several times during that conversation. When you get home this afternoon, if you'll take out your Bible and read through that sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, you'll discover that time and time and time yet again, Jesus used that description. I am the bread of life. That means he really wanted them to understand what he was saying. This was not a casual statement. He didn't say it off the top of his head. He was telling them, this is something about me that you really need to understand. They needed to hear it in his day, and we need to hear it again today because we stand in just as great a need of the bread of life as they did long ago in Capernaum. And that's why when we say at our church we follow Jesus, we're saying at our church we follow the bread of life. So let's look together for a few minutes at what Jesus was trying to say when he described himself as the bread of life. And the first thing you need to know is Jesus was saying, I am the bread of life because I am essential. I'm not a good add-on. I'm not something that you might have in addition to. I am essential to your life. When Jesus talked about bread, he was talking about the most basic substance of life. Now we think about bread and a lot of us think, boy, I really like bread. I don't care what else you serve for a meal, as long as the bread is good, as long as it's hot and warm, as long as it's exactly the way I like it, I can make a meal out of bread if I have to. But in the time of Christ and in the place in which he lived, sometimes that was absolutely true. Bread was not a good addition to the meal. Most of the time, it was the bulk of the meal. If you went to someone's home in Jesus' day, you might be served fish or lamb or fowl, but you would certainly be served bread. People depended upon bread to nourish and fill them. Everything else was in addition to bread. You know, we think about that plate with a little meat and some vegetables and bread on the side. But they thought about it as, here's the bread, and here's a little something extra that you can have as well. It was the bread that they depended upon to make them full, to give them life, to see them through the day. It would not be an exaggeration to say there was no life without bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What he was saying is this, and there is nothing that matters without me. I am the substance of who you are, and everything else is in addition to. And this morning, I would declare to you that if you don't have anything else, you have to have Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can raise you from spiritual death to everlasting life. He is the only one who can fill up an empty soul. He is the only one who is absolutely essential, and everything else is added to. When you ask yourself, who are you as a person? Who are you spiritually? What makes up your life? The answer has to be, before anything else, Jesus. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip into a nation of folks where we were told, whatever you do, when you visit with people on the street, whenever you talk to folks, whenever you're trying to begin a spiritual conversation, never ask them if they are Christians. And never identify yourself as a Christian either. Why? Well, it wasn't because if you mentioned that name, you would be persecuted. It was because in that nation, in their culture, if you said you were a Christian, they would say, I'm a Christian too. Even though they very well might have been over the more than 95% of the population of that nation who were baptized as infants and never saw the inside of a church again in their life. They called themselves Christian. It was a cultural identity. So what did they teach us to say? They taught us to say to people, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus? And you got a completely different response. The same thing should be true in our day and in our place. Instead of calling ourselves Christians, we should call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the world around us needs to know. I am a follower of Jesus. I'm a lot of things this morning. I'm Judah's husband. I'm Jamie and Bethany's father. I'm Bob and Betty's second child. I'm an American. I live in Sweet Home, Alabama. I am proud to be the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Birmingham. I'm a committed Alabama Baptist. I believe in the cooperative program. I'm a person who loves the beach, enjoys cutting my grass, and truly appreciates a good meal. I'm all of those things and more, but before any of those things, I'm a follower of Jesus. Everything else is added on. When Jesus called himself the bread of life, he was boldly declaring that absolutely everything that matters in your life begins with him. Here's what it means to trust the bread of life. It means understanding something. Unless you are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nothing else really matters. Unless you're in a personal relationship with Jesus, important things are going to come and they're going to go. You're going to go through seasons when everything goes your way, but you're also going to go through seasons when everything falls apart. There will be times when you will have an abundance of things you can hold in your hand. But every one of those things is going to pass away. Unless you have Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't have anything. Now, I don't know where you are spiritually in your life today. With most of you, I could hazard a pretty good guess. With some, I don't have the slightest idea. But I can tell you this. Unless your life is anchored in Jesus, unless you have a personal relationship with him, you're going to walk away hungry. And you're always going to be hungry. And there's always going to be something missing in your soul. Because more than anything in the world, you need the bread of life. But Jesus is not through yet. He also said this, I'm the bread of life. I will sustain you through whatever comes. John 6 tells us about a lot of things that are going on around this conversation. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus went alone to the mountain, and then he sent his disciples on ahead by boat to Capernaum across the Sea of Galilee. And in the dark of that night, in the middle of the sea, they encountered a raging storm. They were sure their little boat was doomed, and they were right. Except Jesus came to them walking on the waves and rescued them and brought them safely to Capernaum. When they needed him most, he was there. The next day, he was confronted by people who had been part of that crowd from across the sea. They recognized Jesus is missing. They loved the miracle that they had experienced. Wouldn't you if you had all you wanted to eat and there was still so much more left over? So they made their own way across the sea, and they came to Capernaum. They wanted Jesus to recreate the miracle with another outpouring of food. But I guess they had listened to Jesus enough that they wanted to spiritualize what they were asking for. Rather than just saying, we're hungry and we know you can give us more food, they went through this long thing about, we're hungry and we know you can give us more food. And after all, you know, that's what God did in the desert that time when the Hebrew people were wandering and they didn't have anything to eat, and God gave them manna. And manna was that bread that came from heaven, and it was out there every day for them to pick it up, and it provided the food and the nourishment that they needed, and it was there every day. So Jesus, maybe if you would do the bread thing for us again, we might believe in you. We might trust you. In essence, they were saying, if you give us a sign, then we'll give you our faith. Somehow they didn't remember that God gave manna as a response to a need and not a want. That God had brought this heavenly bread down at a time when his people literally would have died without an action from the Lord. Two times, John 6 describes times when the Lord stepped in to rescue his people, once in a boat and once in the wilderness. And in response to those demands, Jesus revealed himself. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus, the bread of life, wants you to know that he will sustain you through whatever you encounter in your life. Because let's face it, we need someone who can get us through those kinds of times. Storms are going to come, and sometimes they're going to seem overwhelming. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to wonder if you're going to make it from one wave to the next. There are those seasons you go through when it seems as though just when you get through one thing, the next thing hits you, and you never have time to prepare because the storms are blowing through your life. And they come for everybody. I read a story the other day about a young man who was talking to his grandfather about his time when he was in the Navy, and he asked him this question. He said, so, Granddaddy, let me just ask you this. When you were in that boat in the Navy, how far away from land did you ever get? And his grandfather thought about it, and he said, well, you know, the truth, son, is, and all the time I was on a ship in the Navy, I was never more than 2 miles away from land. Of course, most of that time, it was straight down. And we all know about that. Sometimes we may feel like I am in so far over my head, there is no way I'm going to make my way out again. And when you're in that far, you know you need the Lord. Someone has said that the most popular prayer that anybody prays is not one that's written on a piece of paper, not even the Lord's Prayer. They said the most popular prayer that people pray all around the world in all kinds of languages is this: help! Help! I'm in trouble and I don't see any way out. God, help me. God, I know you. Help me. God, I don't know you. Help me. God, I'm in so much trouble. I don't know where to turn. Help me. Help me. And sometimes you go through seasons of need where you see no solution to your problem. Those times when you say, God, I just so much need you to step in and meet my need. like the Hebrews lost in the wilderness, when all they felt was blinding heat and all they saw around themselves was rocks and dirt, just like yesterday, just like last week, and the week before that, and the year before that, and for as long as they could remember. And those dry times, you wonder, how am I going to meet my need? How am I going to make it through? And in those times, you need something basic, just like bread. You need the Lord. You see, this is what Jesus wants us to understand. You're going to have problems, but your problems will never be bigger than your Lord. There'll never be a time when God Himself sits back in heaven and says, I don't know what to do either. I'm not sure how to help you. I'm out of resources. I'm out of strength. I'm out of answers. The bread of life wants you to know He will be there to sustain you through your needs. That was the secret to the manna in the wilderness. God provided just what His people needed, just when they needed it most. And here's the thing, in all that time that God was providing for them, they could never store more than a day's provision, or it would just rot. They had to be constantly dependent upon the Lord every day. He wasn't teaching them about food. He was teaching them about faith. And He was teaching them, you're just going to have to trust Me. And that's what they learned to do. And when they reached the borders of the promised land, it stopped. The Lord knew just how to meet their needs. He still does. The bread of life is one who knows how to meet us at the places where we need Him the most. And Jesus said that those who believe in Him will never hunger or thirst. That means He is our sufficiency. When you need Him, He is always there. When you go through the storm, when you find yourself in the desert, when you're tempted to cry out, where is God in all of this? Then you hear His answer, I am here to take care of you. Remember what He told Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What do you need to know about Jesus? He's the bread of life. His grace is made perfect in your weakness. He will sustain you. He will see you through. He will never let you down. Test Him, try Him, you will find Him faithful. He's made that promise. He's the bread of life. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I will sustain you through eternity. As Jesus talked to those people that day, as they were gathered around Him, trying to get something physical to eat, some kind of sign, some kind of miracle, something spectacular, He wanted them to understand life is about more than what's going on right here or right now. He wanted them to know, I am also sufficient for eternity. Listen to what He said in John 6, 47 through 50. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. He said, all of those things that worked before, those physical provisions that I made, people ate those things, people enjoyed those things, and then they died. You need more than just those physical provisions. You need the bread of life. And He wanted them to know He could see them beyond death and into eternity. That Jesus is God's way to bring us into His eternal home. When I trust Jesus and not me to get me there, then I have a place reserved in heaven. When I am willing to receive the bread of God, the bread of heaven, the living bread, then I have a place that is reserved for me in eternity. And it's not something I've acquired for myself. It's something that's been provided for me by my Father. But only Christ can make that happen. How do I know? Because that's what he said. Listen as he continues to speak. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He shifted gears in a hurry, didn't he? The bread that I shall supply is my flesh. It's me. Only Jesus is sufficient. Only the cross will do. We're beginning to transition into that time when we remember the crucifixion and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And right here in John chapter 6, Jesus begins to cast the shadow of the cross. He says, I want you to understand something. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about my body, which will be given for you. John 8:24, Jesus made it plain. He said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In the upper room, Jesus would declare, this is my body broken for you. You remember what he was doing as he said those words? He was breaking bread. This is my body broken for you. It is only when bread is broken that we may be fed. As long as you allow that loaf to stand there whole and untouched, it can't nourish you. But when you break bread, when you break bread together, lives are fed. And it was when he was broken that we were given everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. It's my flesh broken. And then I believe there in that upper room, sharing that last night with his disciples, he looked from face to face and he simply said, for you. I did this for you. I am the bread of life, and you can have eternal life if your trust is in me. And it's not a general pronouncement. It's a personal invitation. Will you come to Jesus who gave himself for you, who was broken for you, who today is speaking to you in the depths of your heart where nobody else can hear and nobody else can know? But he's saying, I did this and I did it for you. Will you trust me? And maybe you're here today and you're not a believer and you just need a personal relationship with Jesus. And we want that more than anything for you. That's the very reason that we exist as a church, is to help you come to know the one who is the bread of life. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, but today you would like to become one, in just a moment, Rich and I are going to be here at the front. You can come. Either one of us would be glad to talk with you about how you can know Jesus. If you need to talk more than that, you catch us after the service. We'll even be glad to talk to you. We'd be more than glad to talk to you then. We just want you to know the one who is the living bread. Or maybe you're here today and you recognize, I need a place where I can worship Jesus. And maybe you sat today and you listened to the worship as it happened, and you've been a part of the proclaiming of the word, and you just, there's something in you that just says, I want to be a part of what God's doing here. And you need to come and just become a member of First Baptist Church. Maybe there's a decision that you need to make as a believer, and you just need a time to recommit yourself, to restore yourself, to renew yourself, and to share it with somebody. We'd be glad to meet you here for that. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. This is God's time. This is God's call. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.